Well, America, I think it's time that we have that talk. No, not the one about the birds and the bees. You can learn that on the internet. No, I'm talking about race. In the last week, we've seen more and more cases of racial profiling, discrimination, and downright miscommunication happening all over the country. And it seems more than ever, we need to have a serious, honest conversation about why race and racism continues. That's at the heart of my next guest syllabus, if you will, Professor Matthew Shinoda. In addition to being a professor of English and creative writing at Columbia College, he's also the Dean of Academic Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. He's introduced an Undoing Racism workshop that's considered one of the most comprehensive anti-racism trainings of any academic institution in the country. And at the core, it's all about opening up and seeing things differently. Professor Matthew Shinoda, welcome to The Download. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Justin.
So let's talk about this. We have to have that talk. It seems more than I've, in the last couple of weeks, we've seen really strange incidents, calling the police when someone wants to use the bathroom. We seem to be regressing in a way. Yeah. Do you see it the same way? I mean, is it time for this country to sit down and have that talk?
Well, I think it's been time for quite a long time. I mean, I think that race is one of those central and core issues in the history of this country that we have done a fairly good job of navigating around for the last 400 years or so. And I think many things are coming to a head, and it's time that we kind of confront these issues more directly. And I think the idea of having a talk specifically in relation to one's own family and community, not just for communities of color, but for white folks as well, I think is a really important place to begin, that we're not going to move forward and progress in any way unless we actually address these issues head on.
And a lot of that is how people feel. And you know, a lot of what you talk about in the Undoing Racism workshop is about seeing things from different people's perspectives. Mm-hmm. More often than not, if I talk about race on this program, and it happens a lot, there will be texters right away texting in and telling me what somebody thinks, telling me what somebody feels, and not necessarily opening up and showing empathy or understanding where the other person is coming from.
Well, and I think a big piece of that is to actually not only focus on how we feel, but to talk about how race operates systemically in the society. And that's one of the things, the Undoing Racism workshops that we're hosting at Columbia College Chicago, which are put on by an organization out of New Orleans called the People's Institute for Survival and Beyond. They've been around roughly 40 years and have done trainings and workshops all over the country and the world. But one of the main focuses there is to get people to see how race has permeated into all of the systems that govern our lives, right? So that people don't just see this as a personal thing, don't just see this as an issue of guilt or, you know, some sort of personal responsibility, but understand the way that these things operate systemically and affect our lives, even when we don't intend for them to.
You do this, the workshop at Columbia College, and you also have, you're the Dean of Academic Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Why is it necessary there? I think at Columbia College, it's a pretty diverse student body. I know Absolutely. It. I went there. I mean, talk about the need for this kind of thing, even when you do have a diverse student body together.
I mean, I think there's a couple of ways to look at that. One, I think that this kind of work has always been at the core of Columbia College's mission. And so with our current president, Dr. Kwangwoo Kim, and other leadership, we decided to really take it more head on and make it a more systemic core part of the institution's mission, with really a goal of becoming an anti-racist institution and to shift our curriculum in a way that really fully addresses the histories and the lived experiences of our very diverse student body. And as is the case in many academic institutions, we've got a fairly diverse student body, the faculty less so, and the curriculum even less so. Many of us, you know, teach the same kinds of curriculum we were taught. And so a lot of my work focuses on pushing the curriculum to address these issues more systemically in the classroom and get people to understand and think about and see the world from different perspectives and different frames of reference. And of course, because we teach a lot of creative disciplines, art and media-based disciplines, it's a really rich environment to shift and lead the conversation ultimately.
Usually when you get an office that's the Dean of Academic Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, and workshops called Undoing Racism, it's because there was an incident, right? That's usually how it works. This was either required, mandatory, or possibly getting in front of something that is just bad press. That's not the case at Columbia.
No, though our institution, like any other, has had its share of incidences here and there over the years. This was not the impetus for this particular moment. This was actually part of our our institutional strategic plan around really institutionalizing an anti-racist perspective in our curriculum, in our faculty, in our students, and in the things that we teach. And again, really kind of, in a way, matching what has been a relatively progressive mission for the college for so many years with some very real concrete steps and doing that work in the day-to-day.
There, I mean, you, as you said, anti-racism, you know, strategic approach to the college and to everything that goes from curriculum, student body down. I think a lot of institutions would say, "Hey, I'm anti-racist, right? Hey, don't. If you're anti-racist, I'm anti-racist. There's no racism here. You're looking in the wrong direction." So, what do you mean by an anti-racist agenda? What I mean, because I would think everyone listening right now would say, "I feel like I'm anti-racist."
Well, I think that the term anti-racist really signifies a kind of proactive engagement, right? It's one thing to be opposed to racism. It's one thing to have a kind of moral stand against discriminatory or biased behavior. It's another thing to be proactive around making sure that the systems and the things that we engage in on a daily basis are actually equitable, inclusive, and work towards creating a level playing field, so to speak, right? And I think those are very different things.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, ours is a very liberal institution. I think the majority of my colleagues would certainly say that on a personal level, they're anti-racist. But that doesn't mean that the curriculum they're teaching is not heavily weighted towards Western European thinking and Western European sources and so on. And so we have to take very proactive measures to really begin to engage that conversation and create what I think is a really rich and welcoming and wonderful space, especially in the creative disciplines, to think about and create work from various perspectives.
Well, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about how you do that. When we talk about undoing racism, but also having an anti-racist agenda, and what you have to do to essentially approach your curriculum, approach the student body, and understand what it means to level the playing field. In studio tonight, Matthew Shinoda. He's a professor at Columbia College of English and Creative Writing. He's also the Dean of Academic Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. He's my guest. He's a poet as well. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on The Download. Stay with us. Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio, Professor Matthew Shinoda from Columbia College, English and Creative Writing professor. He's also the Dean of Academic Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. He's introduced an Undoing Racism workshop at the college, which is one of the more comprehensive anti-racism trainings of any academic institution in this country. And what it really does, it's not the kind of workshop that you would think, like, say, when a coffee shop has an incident. It's not that kind of thing, because what you're really doing is setting forth an anti-racist agenda, a way to really level the playing field when it comes to not just the student body and how relationships between people of different backgrounds come together, but really how you teach the work, how you present the work. What are the tools that you use for that? When I'm thinking of curriculum, mm-hmm. I think someone says, "I want to do a history class." How do you approach it? I mean, what are the questions you have to ask to fulfill an anti-racist agenda?
Well, I think that there are a great many. And the first is to kind of do an analysis of your own perspective and to figure out whether you're being fully inclusive and thinking about other perspectives and where your own areas of weakness are, and we all have them, and to try to work on developing that. I mean, as faculty, as professors, we're constantly learning and doing research and engaging in our own fields, and we can do that with a specific eye towards anti-racism, right? And then thinking about the ways that we act as gatekeepers, which is a kind of core concept in this work, right? That all of us act as gatekeepers in various ways. We present the syllabi to our students. We create the curriculum for them, right? And so if there are holes in the curriculum, if there are areas that are kind of locking out certain communities and their perspectives, we have the ability to continue to reify and perpetuate that, mm-hmm. or to change that.
A lot of people will say history is history. You know, why?
Well, there are many histories.
Right, but that's my point. That, I mean, a lot of people say, why is this now? Why are we doing this now? But, you know, when I grew up and I was in high school or I was in college, the history was a history. Why does it have to change?
Well, I don't know that history has changed. I think that it's about actually teaching the fullness of history, which we've never done. And, you know, you could say that this is the way things were in the past, but, you know, I don't buy that argument. I don't think the past was particularly glorious for most human beings. And when you look at the present, is this what we're aiming for, right? Can we do better? I think we can. I think as a nation, we can do far better. You had mentioned at the beginning of the show, all of these incidences happening around the country, right? The kind of fear and anger and confusion around issues of race that exist across the country in so many ways is palpable and it's real. And we have to find ways to begin to address that. And ignoring it, which is what going back to traditional history models does, right, is not going to get us anywhere. We've been ignoring it for 400 years, and it's time that we really focus on moving forward.
How do you, when I think of the student body, and I'm you know, you want to get kids together, when you talk about introducing them to anti-racism or to a workshop called Undoing Racism, how do they respond? I mean, a lot of kids come in and they're open-minded college kids.
Sure.
And I would assume that quickly they figure out that they're not as open-minded as they thought.
You know, I mean, I think generally, and this is probably true across the ages, the youth are far more open than we are. But I think, by and large, one of the things we're focusing on is doing these workshops for the faculty and staff, right? So that we actually shape the things, the systems that engage these students to reflect these things. So it's not about necessarily putting them through these workshops, right, but rather training ourselves in order to shift the conversation. They're poised and ready for it. And because we already have an incredibly diverse student body, this is really about a level of inclusiveness and making sure that each of the people in the room's own histories and realities and lived experiences are reflected in the curriculum, that there is a place for them to express and engage and create and make art and media and so on and so forth that reflect.
Now, what I know of many professors and instructors who have had at Columbia College, they're independent thinkers and they're strong-willed people, and that's why they have the jobs they have. So, I mean, it's not as easy as just saying, snap the fingers and saying, hey, we're all getting together as a workshop, right, and now we all understand each other better. I mean, I would assume that there's a lot of conflict that comes out of that.
Certainly. And I think, you know, this is long-range work, and that's very important, right? I think that when you're trying to do this work at an institutional level, you have to be committed to doing this work over a period of time. It takes myriad steps and it takes a lot of engagement, and not everybody's going to come on board with that, but I think in our case we're fortunate that a good majority of our faculty are very open to this. But we also have to understand that they need certain resources and the ability and the time to develop these things as they move forward, right? This is not an overnight thing. And of course, you know, we take education seriously, so the things that we present in the classroom have to be well-researched, the person has to have an expertise in it, so on and so forth. So this is also about bringing new faculty to the table. When we talk about students, for example, and this is true generally across the country, student bodies are significantly more diverse than their faculty. This is true at virtually every institution of higher education in the nation, right? And so we have to work on the diversity of the faculty, not just in terms of the individuals who are in the room, which I think is important, but the expertise of those people, right? People who have studied these things, people who do have alternative views of history than the mainstream and so on, right? So you have to put all of those things together and commit to a very kind of long-range engagement.
Do you see a sort of, and I hesitate to use the word trickle down, but this concept that by training a faculty to teach the students, that those students are going to graduate from school, and because all of this can exist within the walls, or not walls, but the institution that is Columbia College, and then you're out into the world where they have not taken the workshop, that people, right, that students will run into conflict where there is racism, as we see, whether it's in a coffee shop or in a boardroom. Do you see this kind of work being a pathway for those students to be able to handle those situations better, or be the driving force that eradicates it altogether?
Well, I think, you know, my hope would be that they become a driving force to make change. I mean, we have no illusion that we're somehow going to change the whole of society, but part of the goal of education is, of course, to present a safe alternative space in which to engage these things, so that when people go out into the world, they have the tools and the skill and the ability to shift the boardroom and the coffee shop and so on and so forth, right? So the hope is that they will actually begin to take this work out into the world and infect the various places that they're working.
In the short time that you've been doing the workshops, I mean, are there strides? I mean, are there things you look at and you say, oh, I never thought that we would be at this place. I never thought in the short amount of time that I've been doing this that I would see this kind of response. Or are there other, on the flip side, frustrations that things aren't moving faster?
I mean, I think both are true. I think that there have been some really wonderful moments of seeing certain colleagues turn a corner in a way that I didn't expect so quickly, and seeing them become very open and really have a deep desire to push forward and learn more. And there have been other folks who have been fairly entrenched, right? This is hard work. I mean, one of the things that happens in any of these kinds of scenarios is that you're challenging the preconceived notions that in many cases people have had since they were children, right? That it's a tall order. It's difficult, right? Some people are more open to that than others, right?
Right.
It's
right.
Work. At the end of the day, it's work, and it's hard work, and so people have to be committed to that, right? And for many people, especially those who are part of the dominant majority, right, they're comfortable, right? So doing this work unsettles them. It means giving up power. It means shifting power in various ways. It means walking into a classroom, perhaps, and saying, I don't know some of these things, and I need to do my own work to figure this out, right? And that's an unsettling thing for many people, right? So obviously, some are more open and more comfortable than others. But again, my point is that the institution has to remain committed and not shift the target, regardless of whether every individual is on board or not.
Matthew Shinoda is the professor of English and creative writing at Columbia College. He's also the dean of academic diversity, equity, and inclusion. He runs an anti-racism workshop and training. It really is one of the more comprehensive anti-racism trainings of any academic institution in this country at Columbia College, right here in Chicago. Matthew, thanks so much for coming in and talking, and I look forward to continuing the conversation.
Thank you.